Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, we're going to be talking about one way to rewire your mind for different type of thinking. I think you're going to like this. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I would like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. Now, we have a couple series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sunday, and then I do try whenever possible to throw in an extra episode weekly like this one, in which I usually discuss something related to mental health. That is my professional background. I've been a psychotherapist now for 16 years. So you'll hear about things like mental health, like mental illness, mindfulness, meditation, relationships, communication, basically anything, everything that lets you or helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So I wanted to come on here and share with you some stuff about... there's lots of ways to rewire your mind. And, you know, some people may say, oh, you know, once you hit a certain age, you know, you're kind of set the way you are. You can't really change. And I got to say that is absolutely not true. I have seen in my own personal experience, especially professionally, seen people change tremendously. For the better and for the worse, so it could go either way. But there are definitely some tools and techniques that you could take advantage of that will help you in changing the way that you think, changing the way that you perceive, changing the way that you, what I would think is fundamentally important, is changing the way that you react to each moment that comes into your awareness. Because I find that it is often our unconscious reactions to the way present moment appears that tend to guide our future. So it's almost like the rudder on a ship, right? If you're not consciously controlling that rudder, it's pretty much going to keep going the way it's always gone. And that, of course, happens through these, like I said, this reactionary kind of living where you're not really consciously alive. You're just kind of existing according to a set of rules that have been created in the past. We don't want that, right? We want to be able to take more active, more active involvement in how we are living each moment, because by doing that, you obviously get a lot more out of each moment and you have a lot more conscious choice in how you are going to react to each moment. And through that process, you hopefully create a life that is more in alignment with what you want, more alignment with your own joy. So, like I said, there's different ways that you could go about doing that, and that's pretty much what this podcast is all about. So, you know, again, if you're new here, I highly encourage you to look through the library of episodes and just check out the titles and see, you know, what strikes you. I did about a year ago, more or less, I could be off by a couple of months, an episode that talked about, probably a few episodes actually, about how to change your thinking, how to change especially habitual ways of thinking, which we all have. And there's different ways to go about doing that. Now, when I talk about thinking, I want to get very, very clear, because thanks to a lot of, you know, new research that has come out, real, real modern imaging that has come out, we have been able to pierce more and more deeply into the way our brain, the physical organ, operates, the way it's organized, and the way things kind of work. We haven't, I'm not going to say that we've looked into every nook and cranny. We're learning more and more every day. After all, There are billions and trillions of connections in our brains. It's truly a miraculous instrument up there. But there are some things that we have that we come to understand that are pretty factual and that we all kind of agree on nowadays. And one of the things that I find fascinating is that the more you repeat a certain type of thinking, the more there are literally structures in your brain, neurons that will reshape themselves as your beliefs become more and more solidified. So if, for example, you hear growing up over and over again that you're no good, that, you know, you'll never amount to anything, that you actually start to develop a certain mental build, okay, a structure that kind of is created through the repetition of hearing that and believing that over years and years and years and years. It's imagine sort of like a current of water passing through a riverbed or passing even through stone, right? The more and more it passes through the same stone, the more and more defined those channels through which it passes get. And then what happens is that if you suddenly wanted water to traverse through that rock in a different way, it would be very challenging because those predefined patterns are already there, right? They're already etched out. So if you pour water into this stone the same way it's always gone in there, it's going to follow the same path because it's the path of least resistance. So the good thing is, you know, our brains are not stones, right? I hope not. I hope your brain is not a stone. The good thing is that the amazing capability that we have as human beings and as a result of our consciousness is that we are able to look at our own patterns, our own existing, paths, and we're able to kind of become aware of those paths as they exist. And through that awareness, we are then we have a much higher capacity for changing those paths. So one of the real neat, and I probably have shared this before, but it has been a while. One of the neat examples that I heard a while back, I think it was in school, but they kind of were explaining that if you have, let's say, a car, you know, almost everybody drives a car. You have your own vehicle and you're very used to the dimensions of your vehicle. When you're parking it, you are able to, you know how close you are to the car in front of you, how close you are to the car behind you. You have, you know, the dimensions of your vehicle, you know how close you are to other things, you know, how to park in certain spaces, and that's all a result of a map, literally a structural map in your brain for your car. Now, interestingly, if you go out and buy another car, and let's say it's a very different size, you suddenly decide you want to get a big truck or you want to, you know, get a something much smaller and you had a larger car, whatever. The point is that the size changes. You then, of course, what happens is that as you're driving around, you suddenly are paying a lot more attention to how close you are to things. You're not sure how much room you have left. You may have to get out of your vehicle and see before you back up any further. And what's happening there is that you are using your attention, you are using your focus to change that map for the size of your vehicle in your brain. And this all happens not just in a abstract way, like we're talking about it now, but there's actually a structural component to it in the brain, which, again, very, very interesting stuff. So what this tells us, okay, and the point that I'm getting at, is that we have the capacity to change, to alter these structures, and those changes can happen either out of involuntary things that happen. For example, prime example that just pops in my mind because I worked in trauma for so long. But if you go through a traumatic experience that causes major changes in the brain, but those, of course, were not planned. It's not like you wanted to experience a trauma in order to create those changes. Those were more out of your control. They were more involuntary. So changes can happen through involuntary or unexpected things that happen in your life. That permanently alter the way you think and permanently alter those brain structures. And then there are voluntary ways, right? And that's exactly going to lead us into what we're going to be talking about today. There's voluntary ways to do that. Now, one, which I'm not going to go into in great depth here because I've gone into it a ton of times and I'm sure I will again in the future, but one primary way is through a strong meditation practice. And what meditation basically does is it increases our awareness of those existing channels that exist, the structures that are already there. And then it also, I believe, loosens our grip, or it makes those structures more pliable. It makes them more flexible so that you can then have a bit of an easier time changing them. So there's a metaphor I used a few episodes ago that I kind of liked, and it's been popping up in my mind a few times. Imagine if your mind, imagine it or visualize it as an endless field of soil. And as you think a certain way, imagine yourself going across this field back and forth with a plow. You are basically shaping the soil in a certain way. You're creating crevices into which you are going to plant your seeds, right? You want your reality, so to speak, to grow from this soil. And you hope and pray that the reality you create out of this soil is one that brings you joy, brings you happiness. But what happens is, in many cases, is that once that field has been, you know, shaped a certain way, reality tends to grow in a similar direction each and every time, because that's just the way that the dirt was plowed through. So no matter what grows out of that soil, it tends to be similar to what grew last season, right? And this is where you get the way that this appears in most people's lives, is that you keep trying to change your life, but it doesn't seem to be changing all that much. You keep repeating the same things. You keep manifesting the same experiences, the same relationships, the same financial struggles, the same. And it's, of course, because of the way that the soil, so to speak, in your mind has been shaped. So one thing that meditation does, and why I'm such a strong advocate of meditation, is that it basically, imagine, you know, you have that field plowed, that field of soil plowed, and you see all the crevices in there. What it does is it flattens it back out again. So it's almost like it erases or files down those crevices so that then you can rebuild with something new. And that's one of the things that I have, it's happened for me as a result of my own meditation practice. And that's not to say that it's completely flattened out. I still see resurgence sometimes of old patterns, but I'm able to recognize them much more quickly and kind of alter course. But aside from meditation, because like I said, I didn't want to make this whole thing about meditation again. Aside from meditation, is I'm going to talk to you specifically about some affirmations, which I believe are another, can be an indispensable tool, but there's a big caveat there. Big caveat, I'm going to get into that in just a second. Just let me pause for a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back to get into that. All right, thank you for your patience. I am back. I just want to take a quick moment here to tell you that if you ever want to reach out to me to ask a question, make a suggestion, express a concern, or if you have an idea for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatetherreal@gmail.com. You can also hop on over to the YouTube channel, Dreams Warp, just like the podcast here, and find any one of the videos, doesn't matter which one. Just post a comment with your question, and I could respond to you there. I get notified right away. I could just hop on over, respond to you right away in the comment section of that video. Finally, you can find me on Twitter, too. So hop on over to Twitter, search for Dreams Warp, all one word there. You could always send me a direct message and follow me while you're at it. I do retweet things and sometimes post things on there that I think serve as nice little reminders throughout the day to focus on your practice, focus on your breath, change your perspective, things like that. So follow me to get that good stuff there on Twitter. And lastly, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment and leave a nice rating and review. It's another nice way to support the podcast. All right. So getting back to where we were at, I just brought up the subject of affirmations and how affirmations can be one of the tools that helps to rewire the structures of your mind literally. And they can also, more in a more abstract sense, They can help you reshape how you experience your moment-to-moment reality, your moment-to-moment life. Now, how does this work? Well, where we started, basically, as I said, if you hear something, especially as a child, you hear it over and over and over and over again, just repeated. These types of thoughts, these types of statements that you hear over and over again begin to form patterns in your mind. And like I just talked about, these patterns are a result of actual structural changes to your brain, which in turn now become kind of more fixed, more solid. And so they have a high tendency to repeat. It just becomes a pattern. So we can, thankfully, use repeated statements like affirmations to change some of those thinking patterns and change some of those structures. Now, I said that there was a caveat, and there is, and it's a big one. So one thing that I have found, especially working with hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands, I don't know, 16 years, do the math, I don't know. But one thing I have found is that you have a type of people, a type of person who is open to using stuff like affirmations, and they really take it and run with it. And then you have some people that are just totally like don't get it. They feel like they're just lying to themselves. They think it's ridiculous. They think of the old cliche, the old Saturday Night Live skits of people talking to themselves in the mirror. They think the whole thing's ridiculous. And then I assume there may be some in the middle, you know, kind of in the fence about it. But in my experience, again, you tend to have those two general categories. And what I'm going to say here about that is this. If you really, really, really have a strong belief that affirmations are useless and are not going to work for you, then more than likely that's exactly what you're going to experience, because it's a belief system that you already have that seems very solidified. It's just a structure that maybe has been built for years and years and years, or it could be something that you just believe very, very strongly. And as a result, if you hear someone share with you certain affirmations, you may almost have a subconscious or unconscious rejection of it. And what I have seen happen, not often, but sometimes, I would say close to rarely, is you have individuals who don't really believe in them, but they decide to try them anyway. And unfortunately, those blocks just arise and they don't really feel like they're getting much out of it, and then they quit too early. The amazing thing is that my personal belief is that even if you have someone who does not necessarily believe that affirmations will work for them, but they actually stuck with them and repeated them every single day for months, for years, regardless of their lack of belief in them, they will start to have an effect. Because simply the repeating of the statement over and over and over every single day, it just automatically will start to reshape those transmitters in the brain. And it will then, of course, reshape or change the way you think. So I just wanted to put that out there as a little bit of a disclaimer, I guess. If you're open to affirmations, I use affirmations. I use them every single morning. One thing that I try to use care when it comes to affirmations is that there are some affirmations that I find I could accept, that my mind accepts more readily, where there are others that I just think, oh, that sounds a little ridiculous. I don't think that's really going to work for me. they may be a little bit too far out there, or they're, you know, again, that's not to say that the affirmations are no good. It's just that I personally don't resonate with them. They're not really working for me. They may work great for somebody else. So you have to kind of, you know, take that with a grain of salt. One thing I will say that's important for you to kind of figure out for yourself is if you want to give this a shot, you want to try some affirmations, is you really got to try to get some that do a couple things. That when you hear them, you find them at least a little bit motivational, a little bit inspirational, and you kind of can invest some feeling and some emotion and some passion into those statements. So if you're just kind of sitting there repeating these lines and you're not really putting much feeling, emotion, inspiration, motivation into them, you're just kind of, I just got to get through this because I want to change the structure of my brain, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to get a lot out of it, okay? Again, I still think that if you did it, even with that little amount of energy, if you did it for long enough, you would experience some change, but you're obviously going to shorten how long it takes for these things to work. Simply by putting more oomph into your affirmations, okay? So when I say them aloud. I don't scream them at the top of my lungs, but I do try to say them, and as I say them, I try to read them almost in a motivational way, in a way that is inspirational to me. And I think that what that does is that I very strongly believe that when you are able to repeat statements to yourself that you're able to emotionally get behind, that emotion that you're putting into it gives the restructuring of the brain a lot more power, okay? So one way I've often used to describe this that hopefully will make some sense is I go back to my years working in trauma, and it was always amazing to me and sad, to truth be told, is how quickly someone's beliefs can change, really from one moment to the next when it comes to experiencing traumatic events. So one thing that that is always true of a traumatic experience, regardless, doesn't matter, it's always true, is that it's a highly emotional experience, right? Extremely, extremely powerful emotionally. Obviously, not pleasant emotions. We're talking about intense fear, intense helplessness, intense dread, you know, just the worst possible emotional experience that you could imagine having is typically what describes a traumatic event. And amazingly, the power, the sheer power, emotionally speaking, of the moment can instantly change these structures in the brain so that the brain is permanently, not permanently, it could change through treatment, but I'm saying it's altered in that very instant. And that's because of the immense emotional power of that moment. Now, it is difficult to create, it's not impossible, but it's difficult to create an experience that is just as powerful when it comes to voluntarily creating change. So in other words, you can't manufacture an experience that is just as emotionally powerful as a trauma, but on the flip side, in a very joyful way, which will then restructure your brain in a good way, in a happy way. I fall short when it comes to thinking of how you could do that. I mean, I imagine you could climb to the top of a mountain and get this amazing view of the world, or maybe I have heard stories of, like, for example, astronauts going into space for the first time and they look down at the Earth and that moment is able to restructure parts of their brain. A lot of us don't have the ability to create those types of moments. So what we do to compensate for the fact that we cannot create one moment with that much emotional significance is that we have to repeat the affirmation, the new thought that we want to create in our minds, the new pattern. So if you had a tremendously powerful instant, you wouldn't need to repeat these over and over and over again. We repeat them over and over and over again because we are basically adding emotional significance over time. Again, I don't want to go off on a tangent too much here, but I just wanted to let you know that that's why we repeat these affirmations on a daily basis. And when you say them, it's important to emotionally get behind them. That's really key to this. So I have a list here of some affirmations I wrote recently for someone. I altered them a little bit to not make them, you know, to make them more general. I'm going to read these to you. You know, if you want to get a piece of paper, pen, and you don't have to write all these down, just the ones that you feel make you feel really good. And these are kind of general purpose. So you could always take these, tweak them a little bit, add some specifics, change some of the wording to make them suit maybe a specific thing that you want to work on. But hopefully you'll find these helpful. So one more thing. For this, I use the word source, okay? I like that word. When I use the word source, you could replace that word with God. You could replace it with a high self. You could replace it with Buddha nature. You could replace it with, you know, whatever. It basically is a word. That's all it is, so don't get attached to it. It's basically just a word that points to your highest consciousness, okay? So just keep that in mind. So I'm going to read these, and like I said, jot them down. You could always repeat these statements over and over again here on the recording, and just jot them down, and hopefully these will be helpful to you. So let's do it. Number one is source manifests this moment, and this moment is who I am. Next one is, I am more harmoniously aligned with source with every breath I take. Next, divine guidance becomes clearer and clearer with every breath. Next, my ability to hear and feel divine guidance grows stronger with every breath. Next, the whispers of the universe are loud and clear in my consciousness. Next, I am more sensitive to the ripples of emotion through which Source communicates with me. Next, I am able to align my vibration using the ripples of emotion Source provides every moment. Next, my intuition is evolving to a point where I feel confident and secure in my choices. Next, all blocks to my highest self dissolve effortlessly and harmoniously. Next, I am a divine instrument the universe uses to manifest pure magic. And finally, my life is a divine song, and my thoughts, feelings, and actions harmonize perfectly with Source. So that's it. So try these out, like I said. I find that the way that these are put together sound nice. They hopefully trigger some positive feelings as you hear them and as you read them. So you want to basically run with that. You want to try to amplify those feelings as much as you can and repeat those statements on a daily basis. Again, you don't have to use them all. Just pick your favorite or use all of them if you like. And you could always customize them as well. So I hope you find these helpful today in your practice. I really want to thank you for listening. Any questions, like I said, reach out to me through the means I described earlier. And stay tuned tomorrow. I'll be back with another installment of Zen Stream on Sunday. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.